I see you've returned to the plush but not overly ostentatious Norm Nathan Vault of Silliness. Thank you just so darn much for doing so. This episode hails from February 11th, 1995, and because it's Valentine's Day weekend, I have titled it Norman's Assorted Radio Sampler. We begin with the Ken Newman Traffic Report, which is sponsored by Powder Mills Sports Center in Maynard. Then, a promo for the David Brudnoy Show, voiced by Michael Coleman. The show briefly picks up with an interview Norm is doing with Norman Donaldson, author of How Did They Die? There's a call from Joan talking about Steve Lavelli, and that WHAM in Rochester, New York, needs him. We hear Jack doing his best Bob Rawley impression on a Citibank mortgage commercial. Gary LaPierre in his commentary on a recent snowstorm. Two Jack Hart sponsor reads, one for Dunkin' Donuts, and at the time, their new hazelnut coffee. One for CNBC and Geraldo Rivera and the OJ trial coverage. It has a pretty silly tagline. Now it's on to a Norm show open and some callers. We hear from Fred, where Norm bashes the obnoxious Ovaltine commercials and that management and sales doesn't listen, so he's just going to keep doing it. They also discuss feline ear mites.
Ew, like totally gross.
Fred inquires about natural plant pesticides, and Norm brings on the recent guests, Dr. Robert Richard Smith and Mark Abrams, authors of The Annals of Improbable Research, and they give Fred some advice. Fred then reveals some of his own improbable research. Disclaimer, do not try this at home. Ruth Klenet informs Norm that Michelle Pfeiffer, Hasty Pudding Woman of the Year at the time, will be in town with her husband, David Kelly, and visiting his parents in Belmont. Norm and Ruth hatch a plan for Norm to camp out in the lobby of the hotel they'll be staying at, or get a job at the hotel coffee shop, maybe even disguise himself as the doorman. Ruth moves on to the Miss USA pageant, and a biting critique of the judges ensues, which then leads to Norm considering doing a program about people you don't understand how they got where they are. I wander into the studio and join the fun. By the end of the call, the radio waves are getting steamy between Norm and Ruth. I get to tease the upcoming guests for the weekend. They're husband and wife authors of the book 2002 Ways to Say I Love You. The Coolidge Corner Theater is going to be having their 24-hour science fiction marathon. And then we have Marcia McCready, who wrote Women Who Write the Movies. For your dining and dancing pleasure, we hear another show open and take some more calls. During Joan's call, Norm talks about shopping with Frank Avrouche for suits. Penny, who Norm tempts to run away with him to teach him the tango. And Edna, who's running around with all sorts of men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Side B. Norm ends a call, and then we hear from Virginia. We take a short break as Jack does a sponsor read for Ryopan. Norm teases the weekend's guests again, but this time with more details. Did you say more calls, please? Well, we aims to please here. Stacy, suffering from Norm and Norma confusion. Les on a car phone talking about Norm doing a voiceover for him in the 70s for a dramatic fire safety video. Then I stop by again, all bundled up, to say goodnight before heading home. We hear from another Stacy that mentions some nuttiness between Jack and I that had him laughing hard. Norm with just so darn a smooth intro into a Ken Newman traffic report. Our friend Helene from Belmont with talk about old-time radio. Ted and Norm talk WHDH, the Cloud Club, and Norm graces us with the history of Sounds in the Night. You won't want to miss that. Norm sings before talking with Mike in Cambridge. Now let's pause, please, and bow our heads to Baby Gold Bond with Ann George from Philadelphia, PA. And for the love of all things holy, use only as directed. We are entertained by AccuWeather's Alex Sesnowski, which leads to Norm then scatting over the show open. And we close with a call from Warren, who's back from Poland and shares his experiences. Episode 73, Norman's Assorted Radio Sampler, is unwrapped and ready for consumption.
Dealing with some good news out there. This report of the service of John Deere. Watch for a disabled vehicle. This is not the good news, but watch for a disabled vehicle on 93 northbound. This is on the ramp from 93 northbound to 495 southbound in the Tewksbury area. Now, here's the good news. A couple of other disabled vehicles out of the way. No problems now on 495 north by 95 in the Amesbury area, and also an earlier disabled vehicle on the Mass Pike just before the State Police Barracks in Weston is also out of the way. Checking the downtown area, things still moving along very well. No problem on the expressway. Lower deck is an easy ride, but do watch out if you are headed up on Route 3 northbound towards the New Hampshire border. Watch for some icy patches up there. I'm Ken Newman, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
Start the new year with a John Deere at the best prices of 95. Visit Powder Mill Sports Center Lawn and Garden Division in Maynard and make your yard work easier than ever before.
A coral waterfall painted on the tan velvet skin canvas of a Matisse. But her IQ equaled that of a barn swallow. When I asked her opinion on the Middle East, she replied that she had never been to Idaho. Then she muttered something about her having to study for a blood test. As I contemplated our relationship under a chorus of I don't get it, I glanced over at her voluptuous profile silhouetted against a moon-drenched seashore. Then I realized I could easily forget what petty flaws she possessed. She was my hope, my vision, my destiny. But when she said she never listened to David Brudnoy weeknights at 7 p.m., I let her off at the next corner. Guess life isn't perfect.
David Brudnoy, weeknights at 7.
Writing volume one, said, let's just do one line, like Peanuts, you know, just one line, how did each person die? I said, you can't do that. How can you explain where Beethoven was, for instance? How could you get any details in if you just put one line in? No, you can't do that. We need a page. So that's how we did it. And I think, as people have said over and over again, they're meant to be interesting rather than morbid. I don't think they're particularly morbid.
No, they're not. They're not. I can tell you that, having read this one. And they are interesting. Now, where would you come up with something like this? Your wife, I know, died, what, 1988?
She died in 1988.
Yes.
I did the. There were some manuscripts left over, and I pushed on and did some more. And the whole thing began was that in the 1970s, my wife asked me to hand down a book to her on opera, the complete opera book by Gustav Kobbe, the old New York Herald Tribune critic. And as I handed it to her, I said, "Do you know how he died?" She said, "Who?" I said, "Well, this Gustav Kobbe fellow." "No," she said, "how did I?" I said, "Well, he was sailing off Long Island when a seaplane came in and knocked his head off."
Oh,
geez. In 1918. She said, "How do you know things like that?" I said, "Well, I read introductions. I don't read books very much, but I do read the introductions. And I'm quite interested in that sort of thing." She says, "Let's write a book called How Did They Die? I'd love a book like that. I might even buy one that's called How Did They Die?" And that's how we began.
Okay, and now you've got the third volume that has just come out.
Yes, I want to explain that part very briefly. There was this first volume that Betty and I wrote was later divided into two paperbacks. So we rather had to know what to call volume three, or rather the following volume that came out a few months ago. And we decided we'd have to call it volume three for the sake of people who had the two paperbacks.
WHAM and Maine.
Yeah. It's a big, powerful station, too. We can pick it up here in New England, as you know.
Yeah, it's strange. I get it during the day, but I can't get it at night. Now, I get BZ all night, but I can't get it during the day.
Right.
Just so that's the way the wind blows. But listen, they need this. I think they need someone desperately.
Okay, well, they couldn't do better than getting Steve Lavallee. I'll pass the word along.
I know. I think everyone became attached to him.
I think so, too. He's a nice man. I was in college here in Boston. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was guest on one of the programs he did on WERS, which is the Emerson College radio station, mm-hmm. way back, which is how I met him. So I've been a fan of his from the very beginning, and I will tell him. I'll call him, as a matter of fact, call him during the coming day and tell him, "Hey, WHAM is looking for you, Steve."
Yes, they need him. Okay. Desperately.
Okay, thanks a lot, June.
Bye-bye.
You need a mortgage. Citibank has got your number. 1-800-MORTGAGE. Apply by phone anytime, anywhere. For a Citibank mortgage, call 1-800-MORTGAGE.
Year, we've seen snow before. This is not a new phenomenon. It does snow here in the wintertime, but For the thousands and thousands of you who apparently have never seen winter weather before, I'm glad you made it through. Friday afternoon, I saw you. Thousands and thousands of you battling your way into and out of the local supermarket, convinced this is Armageddon. Go buy that last gallon of milk. Go buy that last loaf of white bread. Grab that last bottle of mineral water and a package of flashlight batteries, because how do you know? With a storm like this, you may not see the light of day until sometime in March. I dropped by my supermarket just to pick up some orange juice and gave up after waiting more than a half an hour, jockeying for a spot in the parking lot, getting bumped around by people barreling through with shopping carts, desperate for that last jug of milk, obviously new to New England, unsure if they would survive the weekend without it. And then on Saturday, when the storm from hell actually started to happen, these same people, not from New England, I'm sure, were driving 50 miles an hour on snow-covered streets to get to the supermarket for another loaf of bread just in case. And to the guy in the white Maxima, not from New England, I'm sure, who was waving to me, I think, as he cut me off at the end of Stroll Drive, same to you, pal. For WBZ News Radio 1030, I'm Gary LaPierre.
Treat yourself to a Dunkin' Donuts' latest taste sensation, new hazelnut coffee. It's fresh ground and fresh brewed like our regular coffee, with a wonderful hazelnut flavor. Want the inside scoop on the O.J. trial? Turn to Revere Alive tonight and every night at 9 p.m. on CNBC. If he were any more inside the O.J. case, he'd be on the jury.
Hey, hey, people, pleasure awaits. You tuned in on Nathan, he's one of the greats. Right here on BZ, region 38 states. I'm singing this song so you'll know. It's time for your Nathan Show. When the day-to-day world starts to drive you insane, and you feel like you're riding on a runaway train, your makes you laugh, you keep spirits bright. Tune in 10:30 and call Norm tonight. Hey, hey, out there in radio land, you tuned in on Nathan and he's at your command. Understand, he's a habit you'll never outgrow. But right now, Norm Nathan Show. I said, right now, Norm Nathan Show. Here's Norm.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Do you know that I was in the store the other day and there was a young child walking with his father? And he had the same voice, the whiny, screaming voice, like the Ovaltine kid.
Was it the girl or the boy?
No, it was the boy.
Oh, the boy kid. Yeah, he's awful. She's obnoxious, too, the one we just heard.
I wanted to ask his father to let him call you so you could hear his voice. Because you had decided that these were adults who were playing the parts of kids.
Well, a lot of people who called and said, these are not really kids. These are grown people. They're pretending they're kids, but they are obnoxious. I mean, they really are. You want to just hit them right across the face. Take an Ovaltine can and just break their nose with it. I think that would be just.
Probably get you an award. A Nobel Prize.
I think the Ovaltine people... See, I'm trying to say all these things so the Ovaltine people will either cancel or cut down the amount of commercials they have, which drives me crazy after a while. And Fortunately, nobody at the station in the management area, including the sales staff, ever listens to this program, so they don't know what I'm saying. But they would have fits if they could hear me trying to do away with business that they get a commission on. I mean, it's Ovaltine is good. I'm not knocking the products,
oh, yeah.
And he's backing away a little bit.
Sure.
But some of the commercials just never stop.
My mother used to make thousands of gallons in a tanker truck. That's why all the kids would come to my house.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing my shtick now. I said we used oil drums, ten or 12 oil drums full of Ovaltine. Why, the kids in the neighborhood would just love what we had, yo. Anyway, what else you got to tell me there, Fred?
Thousands of years ago, there was some kind of gang of kids. They were from back in the 30s, old. Really old movies. They weren't feature films. They were like serials of some kinds of kids that always got into trouble and they were bad. And there was one of them that had sort of an adult cranky voice also.
Oh, he sounded like the Ovaltine kid, you'd say.
Yeah, I had seen some replays of these old serials, and I do remember a kid who had sort of like a cranky adult voice.
Yeah.
Something I want to ask you, because you have animals and plants and stuff like that.
That's right, and my knowledge of things is great, too. And tonight I even learned about a scientist, a veterinarian, actually, who experimented by putting mites in his ears from his cat.
Do you know one of my cats sleeps up on the pillow, puts his head on the... That's maybe one of my problems, is I have feline mites in my ears. That could very well be.
Did you use Gold Bond? Do you have a big, strong itch there as a result?
Got an itch. But I've always been wondering what that chewing noise is at night.
And you didn't realize you probably have a whole nest of mites in your ear.
You know what I do have? My mom had a jade plant, and now jade plants can get very big and very beautiful, and this is a huge one.
Yeah.
But it's got white fuzzy bugs on it, and they leave, in some places, they leave something like spider webs by the leaves, and they're killing the plant. Mm. They're absolutely destroying the plant. And I want to spray the plant. But a lot of these sprays that you buy in the store, it says they're safe to use. I got two cats and three dogs. And, you know, their food and their water's out. But mainly, I don't want to spray something that says it's safe for pets and then find out later on that it wasn't safe for pets. Because a lot of chemicals that were considered safe, even DDT was considered safe at one time.
That's true. You're a kindly person, Fred.
Yeah, but I wonder, is there something organic and natural that you can put on the plant that gets rid of the bugs from killing the plant?
Boy, I really don't know. I don't really know that much about plants. If somebody knows, I'm sure they'll call in and say that. Yeah.
I mean, like something around the house or something that you might be able to buy in the store that's not made out of chemicals and in an aerosol can, but that you could just...
Oh, Dr. Robert Richard Smith, who was just on with us a little while ago, along with Mark Abrahams, on the annals of improbable research with the mites and stuff. Did you know? Because you have to pull up a microphone. Perhaps you can advise Fred about that.
You should mix hot water and cayenne pepper and maybe some peppermint soap and spray that on the plant.
Peppermint soap?
Yeah, and
cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper.
Where do you get peppermint soap from?
A health food store. Oh, you can make it yourself.
I never heard of peppermint soap.
And then put a little coffee on it.
With milk or cream and some kind of fruit, it'll be the soap of champions. I see.
Drown these things.
Yeah. What do you think? Does that sound like a solution? I know Dr. Smith, or as we call him, Doctor, I think sounds like he knows what he's talking about. You want to try it?
I have heard of people putting a coffee grounds or tea leaves or something like that in with the plants, because it's supposed to discourage parasites.
It'll certainly discourage your pets.
Oh, yeah, the pets don't eat the plants. It's these little white bugs that are eating the plants.
It sounds like a slogan, like plants don't eat people, people eat people, or something. Maybe that isn't exactly right. I don't know. When the people get eating plants, the plants get the people in eating and... they get tough.
Actually,
there's a slogan there someplace, but I don't really care to elaborate any more than that.
I might get one of those Nobel awards that they're giving away one of these days.
Oh, it's an Ig Nobel.
You might, yes.
An Ig Nobel.
Ig Nobel.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing serious research. All the plants, I've got loads of plants in the house because my parents love plants. We have a solarium where there's lots of sun, and there are even trees growing, and there are orange trees and lemon trees and ferns and things like that. And I have been involved in a very serious scientific study of taking a leaf from every plant and drying it and crunching it up and rolling it and smoking it. And one of the plants does give a little bit of a high. So, I mean, I think that's very important scientific research.
We're tracing the call, Fred, and the entire FBI is out to your house. You'll be under arrest within a half an hour.
Fred, this is Mark Abrams. If you stay out of jail, I hope you'll write this stuff down as a scientific report and send it in to us.
Thank you. I will do that.
Okay. Hey, take care, Fred.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, hey. Yeah, you are. You're following Fred. That's a very treasured spot on this program Fred. Yeah.
I mean, to follow Fred. Fred who deserted me in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. That was that Fred.
That's right.
I forgot. Yeah. I should have. Have you talked to him on the air? Because he's.
Talked to him actually off the air to make plans to meet that night after.
That's right. But you didn't. After he stood you up, though, you didn't talk to him again after that.
No, I never spoken to him. I let you be the.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. I would have put you both on the line just then.
Well,
if I'd remember that.
That's all right. I'm calling to tell you that you're probably going to be disappointed because I don't think you're going to get a chance to be with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, she's coming in for the Hasty Pudding Awards.
And she's coming in with her husband, and he comes from Belmont. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And they're going to visit his parents. So I think she's going to be a little tied up. So I tried. I mean, I was really searching around and trying to, you know, I didn't know how I was going to do it. But then I found that out, that she's going to be here Sunday, and Monday she's going to get her award, but she's coming in early to visit her in-law.
Oh, what a shock, because you know how much I want to meet Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. Well,
deep down, maybe she'd want to meet me, too, and yet her husband and her in-law stand in the way.
David Kelly is her husband.
David Kelly.
From Belmont, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
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 So I'm sorry. I did the best I could.
Yeah. He lives out, I suppose he lives out in Hollywood now. What does he do?
I don't quite know.
He's probably a derelict, probably a drunk, probably that. She's probably ashamed of him and probably would treasure a moment she could get away from him.
Well, I'll tell you. I know that they're going to stay at a hotel here in town.
Uh-uh.
That actually was in the paper.
Well, why would they do that if he's got a house in Belmont?
I don't know, but the thing is, I mean, you might want to go over and walk up and down in the lobby. They're actually staying, I'll tell you, in the same suite.
Yes, yes, who?
That Barbara Streisand just stayed in.
I see.
And she was here last week.
I see.
So you could do that, or maybe you could, you know, just go...
I can see the night manager or whoever at the hotel saying, there's this fat old guy walking up and down the lobby.
How about, what if you went over there and got a job in the coffee shop or something and you could be the waiter and wait on her if she came in for coffee?
That'd be good. I could supplement my WBC income at the same time. You know, God knows it would make it more of a livable wage.
And speaking of WBC... You know, they had the Miss USA pageant this evening.
I got to ask you about that. Now, here, I have a story on that.
Yes.
Miss Texas, Chelsea, who spells it a little differently than the Clinton Chelsea,
yes.
S-C-H-E-L-S-I, Smith.
Yes.
She may be related to Dr. Robert Richard Smith, who's here.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling all the Smiths are related.
Very lovely, like Joe Smith, cousin.
Yeah, my cousin Joe Smith.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, she's an education major from Houston.
Lovely girl.
Crowned Miss USA 1994 before a home state crowd Friday night.
300 million viewers.
And she was in South Padre, Texas, South Padre Island, Texas, and that's the state she's from.
Correct.
Now, one of the guys here at BZ Radio, BZ, maybe it was television.
Television.
Anyway, came by the newsroom just before I got on the air while I was preparing all this great material for this swell show, and he said he was watching the Miss USA pageant, and they were answering these usual dumb questions that they would pull out of a little basket or something at random. And one of them, I don't think it was the one who was crowned Miss Texas, but one of them pulled a question out, which was, what do you think of affirmative action? Which I thought was a pretty heavy thing. Usually it's, you know, what color would you like the hair to be on Mr. Right or
That's
something
right.
like that, you know. Anyway, this was affirmative action, and did you watch that part of it?
I did, when the question was asked by Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Oh, that's what we need. Is she never going to disappear from sight?
Absolutely. That's funny.
She and Ruth Westheimer, I would be glad to buy them both tickets to some other country. You get so sick of watching them both. Anyway, do you remember what the question and answer
I don't,
were?
Only because she asked to have it repeated, and there were two or three questions that really were very difficult tonight, seriously. And I don't think, after they repeated it, no one understood what the question was. So it was very hard for the girls, really.
Okay, because the guy here said, the answer was, when they said, what do you think of affirmative action? Her answer was something like, you put your foot forward and you just move right ahead and you don't get negative. It was like she was thinking they meant, you know, the power of positive thinking
really.
More than the affirmative action.
Right, and also she said, insecure. I'm very insecure.
Insecure, okay.
However, that's that not means, what I wanted to say.
That means in the case of a windstorm, she'd be blown away.
I do want to say, though,
yes.
that Miss Massachusetts was one of the top finalists in the top 12.
Yeah.
And she happened to go to Boston College, and she was an intern in the sports department at WBZ-TV.
Really?
Yes. So some of the people, I didn't know her, but I mean, she now works in the Cape Cod station doing sports.
Which Cape Cod station is that?
She didn't say. She's a very pretty girl. She was very well-spoken, but Jack Williams said something about it tonight afterwards on the news, that she had worked in the sports department here as an intern when she was going to college here.
Mm.
Isn't that nice?
Miss Massachusetts almost never shows up among the top.
That's right, and
20.
Also Miss Rhode Island was in there also, and she was very good. New England people don't show up too much, and Miss New York.
Yeah, I don't understand that, because it's been a scientific fact, and I think a lot of people have written about it, including a big story probably will show up one day in the annals of improbable research, indicating the fact that the Massachusetts women are probably the most beautiful women in the entire world. That's been proven. I'm not just making that up. And guys, Massachusetts guys, are the most handsome, and every other state is jealous as a result of that. Did you know that?
Of course. You and I are examples.
I think so, yeah. You and I could win a beauty contest any day of the week with our eyes closed.
Actually, you know, I have been a director of beauty pageants for 25 years, and the thing is, you know, it was very funny, because do you know who Daisy Fuentes is?
Yeah, I know she started with MTV. She's a very attractive lady.
But, I mean...
But she won her success by standing there saying really dumb things about... Well, nothing things about, you know, the music videos.
Then why would you have her as the co-host of this program?
You know who else? I never understood the success. One day I'm going to have a whole program about people you don't understand how they got to be where they are. Another one is... Uptown Julie Brown.
Yeah, downtown.
Because there are two Julie Browns.
Yeah, this downtown
is the
Julie Brown.
This is the dark-haired one.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was uptown.
Uptown
I thought uptown
downtown.
Was a little fancier.
Wherever she wants to be.
No, and I wondered, how did she get to... She's on a lot of shows.
I know.
And Casey Kasem, he was one of the judges.
He was.
I mean, who is Casey Kasem? I mean, I know who he is, but how did he get to be... He's a bland little midget of a man.
He was sitting next to Dr. George Bubba.
Introducing stupid songs. Why does anybody even know his name? And he's sitting, that's right, next to Joey.
Dr. Brothers.
Dr. Brothers. What's that?
I have a theory on that.
Talk it into the micro, because we don't miss it when you say Doc.
I have a theory on that. It's that people that speak in the third person do it so often that they get their name out there a lot more than most people.
Oh, when Casey Kasem says Casey Kasem, you don't realize he's talking about himself. And say, hey, it's another guy talking about Casey Kasem. You don't realize the little runt who's standing in front of you, that's Casey Kasem. Do you think that's nice, Ruth? I didn't mean to call, I shouldn't have called him a runt.
It's all right with me.
I just
want to go back to Daisy Fuentes for a moment. I've never seen her
before.
Because
she's a very beautiful woman.
I know,
woman.
But she talks so dumb. Yeah, I mean, she really, that's the first time I've ever seen her, and I mean,
pageant.
He's okay, that Bob Goins, whatever his name is, who was supposed to be the daytime host of The Price is Right, do you remember, I'm not The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, do you remember that story?
I vaguely recall
that Vanna White picked him out herself and thought he was going to be great, and then she didn't get along with him, so she got Merv Griffin to fire him.
There's another woman, Vanna White. I mean, what is a Vanna
Absolutely.
White?
Absolutely. I go with that one. I don't know about that either. And she just signed a contract now to 19, four more years to be on the show, as well as Pat Sajak did, and as your friend from Jeopardy did.
Alex Trebek. I think he's a very intelligent, sharp guy, and he moves the show along. I think he's great. And I think...
He went to Harvard.
Okay. Well, that's okay. No, but the guy who runs Wheel of Fortune, I think he's bright also.
He's funny.
You know, he's got a good sense of humor. I can understand his... I'm sorry his success didn't extend to that nighttime show that he was trying out for. But I mean, I think he's got talent. But there's just so many of these bland, nothing kind of people that just happen, you know, like...
Daisy Fuentes.
Well, I'm thinking of Zsa Zsa Gabor, for example.
Right.
Nobody, unless you watch really old television programs, do you realize she's actually been in some movies.
I know it.
But otherwise, nobody really knows what it is she ever did. There are kind of perennial guests on these programs.
At least her sister was on, Green Acres?
Yeah, Ava Gabor. She was on with Eddie Albert. That was a regular, that was a long-running show.
Right.
It wasn't a great show, but at least she was on. You know what I think is happening? As I get older, and certainly Tony Nesbitt will testify to this. Will you, Tony?
Is he there? Tell him
Tony just happened to wander
tell
in.
Tell him I said hello.
This is Ruth. She says hello. What were we talking about?
We're talking about people who make it we don't know why.
Oh, yeah, and I'm explaining that as I get older... add more and more people to the list, and I think it's because I become an embittered old man.
I don't believe that.
No.
I don't believe that because, now ask him about Daisy Fuentes. See, he's younger.
Okay,
MTV.
She's a beautiful lady,
But why would you make her a co-host of the Miss USA pageant?
And why would there be Dr. Joyce Brothers on that? Casey Kasem and all these non-people? am I getting old and nasty?
And Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may or may not like his songs.
Oh, I love him.
He's
my favorite, really. I went to see him. I gave you a review, so you don't remember.
Yes, I do remember. I've got that. It's my tear-stained scrapbook of memories.
Why would people who run this pageant, that the winner now goes to the Miss Universe pageant, wherever it's held and everything, pair her up like that? I mean, usually they have somebody who can speak.
I suppose, but she's incredibly beautiful, and I think that's all she needs.
The Casey Kasem thing, yeah. Joyce Brothers, I don't...
Yeah, what about, I mean, like these supermodels?
Young and advice and young and music, maybe, but Casey Kasem is so far removed.
Oh, I know it. I know.
He was just a judge, though. I mean, they just,
I was thinking about, you know, like a lot of these shows
have... that's it. Don't they do some kind of musical talent show?
No.
They don't.
Who, Casey?
No, the USA.
There's no talent in this. It's just...
no talent at all.
No, this is the one...
I figured he'd be judging something on that. But
it's just bathing suits, formal evening gowns, and speaking.
Oh,
there you go. Because it's Casey Kasem, so he knows how to speak. I talk good.
Listen, this goes over to a listener in Borneo who wants to say hi to his girlfriend named Marcella.
Miss New York.
She used to carry his program on Sunday afternoon here at BZ, which shows you what the management of that time knew about everything. At least the management that came in after us had the sense enough to dump him. But there was these supermodels, Cindy Crawford, all these people have nothing ever to say about anything, but they're very attractive.
You know, a lovely mole.
I suppose, you know, we all like to look at attractive people, which is why I lust for you, Ruth.
And me after you, Norm.
Oh, I know it, God. God, the sparks are flying right this minute.
In the meantime, I'm very sorry.
Will you shut up while I'm saying sexy things about you?
On the board.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
Never mind. I got news coming up.
I know. I was just going to say, I'm very sorry. Just apologizing about Michelle Pfeiffer. And if you decide you want to do that, I could call the manager and find out if he could give you a little uniform.
You could
even be the doorman.
I'd be anything for her.
Carrying her bags.
I'd be her doormat.
I was trying to get someone. I was going to try to surprise you, Norm, and have her call in, because I guess she's coming in Sunday night.
She is with her husband from Belmont.
Ruth just mentioned her husband lives in Belmont. He's probably... he's probably really Casey Kasem in disguise. She wouldn't marry somebody.
Goodbye, Levy.
Hey, take care, Ruth. Okay, that's that picture of that. Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
Now, thanks for dropping by. I know that you had nothing else to do anyway. So
I'm working on your show in the other room.
Are you working on it right this minute? Before we go to the news, tell me who you got as guest this weekend. Besides these great guys we had this first half hour and this first hour.
Tomorrow night. What do we have tomorrow night?
Well, I'm just asking you that. Wait a minute.
Oh, A couple of guests. 11 o'clock.
Casey Kasem.
Yep, and Cindy Crawford.
Joyce Brothers.
A couple of people who wrote a book called 2002 Ways to Say I Love You in honor of Valentine's
Day. That's
the
husband and wife team.
Yes.
And it's kind of a Valentine's Day thing.
And then we have some people from the Coolidge Connor Theater.
Oh, yeah, they got the science fiction thing, the 24-hour thing going on.
Yep. And Sunday, Marsha McCready with Women Who Write the Movies.
Oh, yeah. Hey, gotta go. I forget now why, but we...
It's time for news.
Just makes me glow each weekend night. He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright. Here on BZ 103, oh please, don't turn that dial. He makes me smile.
Radio where they don't pay you a living wage. But in any event, they give you a close budget, but they understood what kind of a sleazebag I was.
Oh.
So they would not let me go shopping for these clothes. They sent Frank and Roosh with me, and he would go to all these expensive men's stores, and I'd say, why don't you go to Marshall's, a place like that? I can buy 10 times more clothes that way. And
yes.
But he would not hear of it, and we would go to these expensive men's stores.
Yes.
I'll mention them, Mr. Sid's and Louis and all those fancier places.
Uh-huh.
And I would get one suit, maybe, for every other week. But anyway, eventually I lost the program, and he took over. So I figured, I don't know, maybe there was a reason for this madness of his.
Yes.
I remember when I used to kid with him about it, when the Queen of England came in one year for the tall ships thing.
Yes.
Everybody would say, boy, she looks like somebody's old maid aunt. She looks, really dowdy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I had this vision of somebody from Buckingham Palace calling up Frank Evroosh and saying, would you go with the Queen and help pick out her clothes? You did such a great job with Norm. And he would pick out clothes for her, and I was going to warn her, don't let him pick out clothes for you, because, last he picked out clothes for me, and I lost the show, and he took over. Next thing you know, she'll be dumped, and he'll become Queen of England if the thing follows.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought that was rather an amusing
story. Well, Norm, I enjoy your show. It's just great, and be well.
You be well, and thanks for the call, Joan.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's funny.
But Norm, it doesn't make any difference what you look like. You have the schwad of the...
Well, I do have schwa de vivre. I don't have much much finesse or anything beyond that.
Norm, don't lie. Don't put yourself down.
Oh, all right.
You have a...
Schwa de vivre just means that I have a joy of life.
A zest for life.
A zest for life.
That's
I knew that
when I said that, Norm.
And you sound like you do too, Penny. Why don't you leave your husband and run away with me and teach me the tango?
No, because
he's probably no good for you.
A zillion years.
How long have you been married?
40 years.
That's long enough. Enough is enough, Penny.
No, this guy is. He is. Oh my God, he is great.
No, I'm just saying that. Obviously, it's a joke. If you've been married for a guy for 40 years and he likes you and you still like him, I think you've got a real good thing going there.
I think he puts up with me more than I put up with him.
I have any plans at the moment to run away with anybody, but there is nobody who really cares to run away with me. If they just give me a little coaxing, I might change my mind.
When I get through talking to you, can I give the name of this person to your producer or somebody?
Yes, you can. This is the fellow who did all the recordings and came home.
You wouldn't believe what he has. He and I used to go to the Bradford. We saw all the, on radio, we saw all the...
Now, what was the Andante Cantabile is a very well-known.
Well, what did you play on the violin? You said you took violin.
Yes, I did. I did, but that was a long time ago.
I know.
And I may have played that, and I know it became a popular song, didn't it? Or at least the melody is very familiar.
Well, I don't remember. I used to play the Moonlight Sonata.
Oh, the Moonlight, yeah. And can you hum the Andante Cantabile?
No.
What right have you got to call me and tell me that, Edna?
Well,
now, do you still play
wait,
piano?
Oh, wait, can I tell you one thing?
Yeah?
The only thing he could not teach me, this friend of mine, was tennis. He still plays tennis. I'm a little bit nearsighted. Who the hell could see the ball?
Well, with glasses you could see it, could
well,
you
I
not?
Well, I wasn't wearing them, you know, when you
what?
Go.
Because you were vain. You thought, you know, guys don't make passes at girls who wear glasses. You pull that kind of business.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was Dorothy Parker, I think, who said that.
Who knows? I don't know.
I'm telling you. That's now you know.
Well,
I believe it was.
I went to the library of a prestigious college.
Oh, do you?
I did. I'm retired.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you tell us the prestigious college?
Don't tell my kids that I'm running around.
What? Say that again?
I don't want my kids to know that I'm running around with all these men.
Are you still running? You're running around, really?
Of course.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, but I don't want to get married.
No, you don't want to get married, but I think your kids would be delighted that you have a social life, don't you?
One lives in Brookline.
Yeah?
And one lives in Hopkinton. And at this age, they became my father and my mother. Who needs them?
No, it's kind of fun because I have two daughters.
I know.
And I think they're both glad if I ever go out and stuff and have a social life. And they're just pleased that, they know, your kids must have to feel the same way. They don't want you sitting around moping
all
the time.
My son-in-law, handsome. He has a Harley.
Yeah.
You know those.
The motorcycle, sure.
But he won't give me a ride because he says if I fall off, I'll sue him.
Well, and rightly so. For every penny he's got. Bleed them dry.
They're good. They're very good to me, and I'm good to them, and, you know, whatever.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, we have a good relationship.
I think
so my friend. He's a grandpa.
Oh, okay.
Got two daughters.
He's about your age?
Yeah, I'm 3 weeks older than him.
Okay.
So tell him he has
are you romantically involved with this guy?
No, he's got a beautiful wife.
Oh, I see.
She looks like Betty White.
Oh, okay. And I thought you might like to be a, you know, like the femme fatale and break up the marriage.
My brother was 9 years older than me, and he's closer to me. We were like, we grew up together, you know.
Edna, I got you. I think that's very, very nice. I'm going to turn you over to the producer at this very moment. And he will take the name and the phone number. I appreciate hearing from you. You're a cute lady. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear. Oh, I hung up. Saying she knew dogs that jumped into the crib and did a job on the baby, and we better get rid of the dog. And said, we'll get rid of you before we get rid of the dog. I mean, she was making up stories she maybe very well believed that. But, I mean, that never came to pass, and I've never known that to happen. You know, the dog will jump in and suffocate the baby. And well, she was so adamant about that.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that about dogs, but I have heard about cats doing that.
Yeah, but it's
that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's true in either
case.
No,
it isn't.
No, I don't, because we've had cats through the years also. No, that doesn't happen that way.
I've had cats all my life, and I've had nothing but good luck with them. I did want to mention about dogs. When I got married and my kids were little, of course, they wanted a dog, and Massey was all the rage. But we went to a shelter. I lived in Westchester County at this time. We went to a shelter and looked at the dogs, and there was this little puppy who was a Lassie dog. And my little boy said, oh, he wants Lassie. Well, the young fellow that was there, he was about in his 30s, he said to me, he said, that dog has a problem with one of its hips, and you're always going to have trouble with it. He said, I'll show you a dog that you will love. So he showed us a dog. It was a full-grown dog, part Keyshorn, part Norwegian Elkhound, and he said, this will make a wonderful dog. Well, me, I'm pliable, you know, and the dog's wagging his tail. And he said to me, the people that owned the dog got rid of the mother and kept the puppy, and I think that was cruel. But anyhow, we called the dog Smokey because she had gray fur and turned out to be the most wonderful dog. But the sad thing about all of this, and I hate to bring in any sadness, but there's a you know, the moral in it, too. This young fellow, it wasn't long afterwards that in our local paper, he had taken, I don't remember if it was two or three of his favorite dogs in his van, put on the exhaust, and committed suicide. And, oh, God, that killed me, because these are the kind of people we want in this world. But evidently, he was, he couldn't take maybe a lot of what was going on. I don't know. But people like that, these are the kind of people we want. They shouldn't do that.
I would say not. I would say not, Virginia.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
A long while back, Ellen Kimball, she was on talking to you.
Yes, she had a talk show on WEI at one time.
Yeah, right. I used to listen to her.
Yes.
And you asked her if she wanted to stay on and be on the birthday, silly birthday game. And she said yes. But she never did come on. I guess she changed her mind.
Diapan Plus 2, the antacid that starts to fight acid as soon as it hits your stomach. Diapan Plus 2, for the next time you have heartburn.
8 o'clock, and we come on right after 11 o'clock Saturday night. Cindy Haynes and Dale Edwards are husband and wife, and they have written a book called 2002 Ways to Say I Love You. Oh, I love those romantic programs. They are husband and wife and romance experts, I'm told. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's Tony Nesbitt gives a little description of what that's all about. He says the book is a compendium of all those cute, adorably sickening things you can do for that special someone. Kiss me, you fool. Anyway, because Tuesday is Valentine's Day. So that's we rise to the occasion by doing such contemporary things like that. Later on Saturday, we'll have David Kleitler. I'll have to figure it out how to pronounce his name by that point. But he's the artistic director at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline. And each year they have a 24-hour science fiction film marathon. And that this one will be held the following, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday on February 19th. And so that's always kind of fun. They usually have sold out for those performances. Yeah, here it is, at February 19th at the Coolidge Corner Theater. They have Ed Wood's Plan 9 from Outer Space, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, and Jurassic Park. And so on. I guess for $24 to $26, you can go in Friday night and stay there right through Saturday night. So a 24-hour thing in there in Brookline. And then on Sunday night, we will have Marcia McCready, who's the author of The Women Who Write the Movies, from Frances Marion to Nora Ephron. She'll talk about the history of women screenwriters from the earliest days of movies to the current period. Open house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that for a couple of years back then.
And didn't you do the gossip? I mean, it seems to me you did the gossip, or somebody else did, rather. Maybe it was a different Norman.
No, that was my wife, Norma Nathan, who did a column called The Eye, which was in the Boston Herald.
That's right.
She did that for quite a number of years.
My God, she was great.
Yeah, she did a good job. Yeah, she. Our names were so similar that people sometimes get us confused.
Well, we'll see. There you go. Norma.
That's right. Norma and Norma. I know it. Norma Nathan. Norm Nathan.
See, it's going to happen to you too, Norma.
No, it used to happen to me all the time that way too. It's kind of funny because when. At first, she used to say people would return her calls quickly because they thought it was me. And she was just starting, so they didn't know her name. Then after a while, they'd return her calls, and they wouldn't return mine.
Oh, boy.
Hold on just a minute. I want to say goodbye to the very lovely and exciting Tony Nesbitt, who's taken off for the cold winds outside.
Goodbye, Tony.
Oh, goodbye, Stacy. Goodbye, Stacy. Good night, Norm.
Good night there, Tony.
Good night, world.
Been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
You are really bundled up there with the gloves and the whole thing. That's really nice. That's...
Oh, come on. It's warm out there.
Yeah, it is, actually. It's 32.
Yeah,
it's a heat wave.
Yeah, it's 32 degrees. Yeah, that's right. It's so things are getting... Also, it's, we were saying, it's February 11th, with more than a third of the month has gone by.
11 days to my birthday? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
What? No, what is the date of your birthday?
22nd.
Oh, really? Mine's the 22nd of June.
Hey.
Lucky 22.
Oh, really? Mine is the 20th of December.
Wow. Wait a minute. There's a,
what
a pattern here.
What is that?
Hey, Tony, now, since it's so warm out, take all your clothes off and go jump in the Charles River.
Hey, what are you, crazy, Stacy? What is wrong with you?
Hey, did you mention that you were in all night on Sunday?
Pardon me?
I did not mention that. No, usually Sunday nights, I'm here just for a couple of hours, 11 to 1. But this Sunday, I'm so darn pleased to tell you that I'll be filling in the entire night right through until 5 a.m.
You part-timer, you.
I know it. I try to grab as much time as I can.
You know, you might wind up being a full-timer. You keep this up.
Oh, I don't know whether I even care for that anymore at this stage. It's kind of nice to be able to loaf a little bit. But I appreciate the thought anyway, Stacy.
Well, anyway, I just, you sounded so lonely, I had to call you up. Well, you guys said that panel on there. I don't know what it was between Jack and Tony. Something went haywire, and I fell out of my chair last.
A fire safety training program. Do you remember anything like
that?
Yeah,
I know I did a lot of that kind of stuff. I don't remember that one specifically, but I did a lot of audiovisual, the narration, the voiceover stuff.
Yeah, you did one for me one time. I was in charge of that sort of stuff at one of the local corporations. But I had heard you as I was testing out some of this equipment and on that particular program. It was quite an incredible job you did. I always wanted to tell you that.
Oh, thank you. Now, you said it was in the 70s?
I think it was back in the 70s, yeah.
That's
when I was working and just came out of the Navy.
Oh, thank you.
Into this area, and I've been in media for some time on training type things.
Are you in the media now?
Yeah, I'm doing some of that in training on computers and so forth.
Yeah.
But I'm also, to pick up some extra income, doing courier work. That's what I'm doing out tonight.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you're delivering packages and letters and stuff
over New England, New York, New Jersey.
Wow. You're an ambitious kind of guy.
Yeah, it's fun. I kind of enjoy this, you know.
Yeah. And I appreciate you hiring me for that job back then. Thank you very, very much.
The intensity of the fire safety thing was the part that really got me, even though it was on slides and so forth. As you were talking, it was going to be a question and answer thing, and I remember that you would take us through walking down a hallway and touching a door, and I didn't know you had that dramatic side to you, and I really felt panicked at the last minute that I had to answer this question right or the whole building was going to blow up.
Oh, I see. That's
so you did a great job.
Oh, thanks a lot, Les. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. And where are you heading for now?
Well, I'm on the Mass Pike headed westbound. The traffic is light. And I think it sounds like I'm going to lose you in a few minutes, too.
Okay, whereabouts on the Pike are you?
Just left the Western Tolls.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I picked up my ticket as I was coming through, as I was talking to you. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. Take care. Good luck to you, Les.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Well, never mind. Let's call in Ken Newman, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Anyway, hello again to Ken, and we just thought we'd check in with you from time to time and find out what traffic is doing, because we have a great hunger to know exactly what's happening on the highways. We're that kind of people. Oh, I ought to plug him in so he can answer me. This is a good way to do it. I'll just make nasty comments and really stupid comments like that, Ken, and then I won't turn your microphone on so you can't answer me back.
There's no rebuttal. That's just not fair.
Yeah, I know. That isn't fair. And I thought, in the Democratic tradition, and heavens knows, Westinghouse operates its businesses, including its making of the washing machines, in a very Democratic manner, and that would not be nice. And you're a nice fellow, so what the heck?
Well, thanks, Norm. I appreciate that, and
I see.
Well, let me tell you where the traffic isn't.
Okay.
Okay, the Mass Pike.
Big one, and then we're going to work on a comedy thing. Easy Aces should be part of that.
I don't know if they have any tapes. I don't usually collect them. But every now and then I remember something of Jane Aces, which I start to laugh again.
Well, she was like
Mrs. Malaprop.
Yeah, Mrs. Malaprop. I'm trying to think of it. She's like Gracie Allen, who used to use wrong words. Mm-hmm. And
but
later,
more Mrs. I remember you could have knocked me over with a fender.
That's right.
Or
that's
shaking
right.
like an aspirin leaf.
No, I don't remember that one. She and her husband, Goodman Ace, had such unusual ways of talking. Mm-hmm. Their voices were very, very kind of weird and very funny. And later on, do you remember a show called The Big Show? It was one of the last big radio shows on, kind of trying to keep radio going, the big-time radio shows going, even after television came in. Tallulah Bankhead was on that. And Meredith Wilson was the orchestra. And it was a real, I think it ran about 2 hours or an hour and a half on a Sunday night. Now, why didn't I just mention that? Oh, Goodman Ace was the director and the producer and the writer on that. Yeah. So that was one of the last things that I'm aware of that he did on radio.
I remember that in their regular show, Easy Aces, where he called her Jane, she never used his first name. He was always Dear.
No, I didn't remember that, no. Was there a reason for that?
I don't know. It was just standard. I don't know if there was a reason. Maybe Goodman just didn't flow.
Not even interesting as to why.
Yeah, I think it is.
That was my theme for just a little bit. The station, that was WHDH, and
right.
from midnight to 1 a.m. or something like that, they had a program called The Cloud Club.
Right.
And we used to and they were trying to simulate the sound of crowd noises and the tinkling of a piano, which was played on record by Errol Garner.
Uh-huh.
And, anyway, following that, at 1 a.m., the station would go automated. There would be nobody on duty at all. And they would go back to the transmitter. And in order to give it some kind of character, they got these jingles made. That's what the jingles, the one you're talking about. Oh, the sounds
right.
in the night and the owl.
I wanted to sing it to my wife, and she said, please don't.
Okay.
So I decided I'd call you instead.
Okay. So eventually what happened was we had the collision off the Cape
uh-huh.
of those two ships, the Stockholm and the Andrea Doria.
Right, I remember that.
And we were owned by what was then the Herald and Traveler, and we had nobody on duty that night because we were automated during the night. So they decided they'd better put somebody on during the night just in case there's that kind of some kind of a story that breaks. How does it look, you know, for
right.
a radio station not to have coverage that's owned by a newspaper?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's how I got the program. So they stuck, that's how the name came about. Oh, the sounds in the night that happened to be on that jingle. So the program then became known as Sounds in the Night. And eventually I switched from that to Count Basie's Midnight Blue, and we went on earlier and earlier. I think the program eventually got on about 11:30 at night. But anyway, that was the first jingle, and it was the station jingle, and it wasn't necessarily my theme. They just happened to have it, and that's how it named the program.
Now, when was that, Norm? Back in the 50s, wasn't it?
That was, yes, it was. It was 1957, I think is when. The jingle itself goes back a little further than that, but the program Sounds in the Night goes on. It was 1957 to about 1968, I think roughly that those years.
Uh-huh. Now, I remember also Marilyn Guralnick.
Yeah, she's been around with me for many, many years,
for
but
many,
still.
The lovely Marilyn.
The lovely Marilyn Guralnick, even though she's actually only about 17 still.
Okay. She stays 17. Isn't that great?
Something, or maybe she's 27 by now. Right. Or even 37 would be okay.
Well, listen, you take care of yourself.
Okay, you're nice to remember all
well,
that.
Well, I'll tell you, I remember it, and I remember it so distinctly. I said, I've got to call him up.
It's kind of interesting. I got a copy of some old HDH jingles. The
uh-huh.
sad thing is, of course, the station does not exist with those call letters anymore. The TV station is called that, but not the radio station. Anyway, and I've got to listen to those jingles. That one might be on there. If it is, I'll bring it in. We'll have to play it one night.
That'd be great. That's a classic.
I know it is kind of funny. It'd be funny for me to hear it again and bring
right.
back a lot of memories because it does go back an awful lot of years.
I go way back, Norm. Back to the totem pole, those days.
The soft drinks are obviously less expensive. Yeah, it was a nice spot.
Yeah.
We were lucky to be around then.
That's true. Well, it's really nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Ted. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Oh, the sounds in the night, and the owl takes flight, and the old dog bays at the moon. No, I forget how the rest of it went. The song itself is an old traditional folk song, I believe, but they added lyrics for the station. WHDH in Boston. Anyway, let's go to Mike in Cambridge. Hi, Mike. You're on WBZ.
Hey there, Uncle Norm.
Hey, Uncle Mike.
How are you?
Good. We can't both be each other's uncles, can we? I'll be your uncle then. That's okay.
It's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Good to talk to you, too. What have you been up to?
Working, sleeping and working.
Oh, you got to be more to life than that, Mike. Because you're an on-the-ball kind of guy. I can't imagine that you're going to spend your entire life just working and sleeping.
No, there's also my Uncle Norm.
Okay. Got to be more to life than just working, sleeping, and your Uncle Norm. Even then, we got to figure out how to brighten up things a little bit. I don't know. Let me work on it, and I'll send you a whole sheet of stuff.
Anyways, I just wanted to say hi. And
you got anybody you're sending a Valentine's to this Tuesday?
A couple of people.
Well, that's good. As long as Valentine's Day comes around, and you still have people that would love to hear from you, you're okay, Mike.
You are too, Norm. You're just so swell.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Mike. Bye-bye. You know, he sounded like when he said that, he sounded like Charles Grodin. You ever watch the Charles Grodin on TV? I think he's very funny. I get a really big kick out of him. The other night on TV, they ran Midnight Express, in which he appeared with Robert De Niro. That's one of my favorite movies. I thought it's such a great movie. It's such a weird movie. I just loved it. But Grodin sits there with this silly smile on his face, and you're never quite sure what he's going to say. And he has all these interesting people on there, and he seems to have no shame about what he's asking them. He seems to know them all personally enough to know, you know, so what are your toilet habits? I don't know if he's ever come out quite that strongly. But he's apt to ask things that are that strong. I don't know. I get a big kick out of him. I do like Tom Snyder, too, by the way. So there. Anyway, we got news coming up in about 3 minutes, and we'll be around about 20 minutes after that. If you'd care to call, 254-1030, area code 617 is the number to call. Well, one more thing. We have some stuff coming up Sunday night, I guess. Would you mind if I flap some more papers in your ear? We have Marcia McCready, author of a book called The Women Who Write the Movies. From Frances Marion to Nora Ephron. And she will talk about the history of women screenwriters from the earliest days of movies to today. So we'll be talking about films and stuff. And I think that's always kind of fun. Don't you? Don't you? I do, too. And again, tomorrow night, instead of just 11 to 1, maybe you don't even know when I'm on the air, so you don't much care about this. But normally we're on 11 to 1 on Sunday night until, you know, 1 a.m. Monday morning. But Bob Rowley will be... is taking the night off, and so we'll be around through the doing his show right through till 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's why I need your help. Monday morning between 1 and 5 a.m. is not the time you get the greatest amount of phone calls, so I'm kind of counting on you, and I thank you just so darn much.
Does your baby suffer from red, irritated diaper rash?
Swollen, red, and, you know, itchy. A diaper rash. I wanted to get rid of it. It's not a good thing for your kids, uncomfortable.
Then Ann George of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, discovered Baby Gold Bond medicated powder.
I picked the Baby Gold Bond. It's great. More than just a regular powder. It's not just talc and fragrance. He was relieved. The itching was stopped, and he was happy.
Baby Gold Bond combines zinc oxide with the finest talcum powder to relieve baby's red, irritated skin and actually helps prevent diaper rash with ingredients medical experts recognize as both safe and effective, including a skin-protecting medication ordinary baby powders don't have.
And I basically use it every time I change him. I'll put the powder on him. Baby Gold Bond. It's keeping him dry, you know, drier. It's putting like a protective barrier between him and his diaper.
Baby Gold Bond medicated powder does more for diaper rash than ordinary baby powders. At drugstores and supermarkets everywhere, use only as directed.
I will, because I do everything only as directed, because I happen to be a man of no creative ability, no initiative. I am simply a follower. So I read directions, and I follow them right down the line, and we'd all be better for it if we did that. That was acting.
You know, sometimes I have the feeling that that I'm acting like a total ass. Do you have that feeling, too? Okay, what I'm doing now is just rambling on in an incoherent manner, which is the way I usually conduct almost any program I've ever done, because I got about three or four more seconds before I have to tell you that you're tuned to WBZ Boston. I'm Norm Nathan, and news is coming along.
While you're driving your car, we're driving 50,000 watts of power. News all day, every day. News Radio, 1030, WBZ Boston.
And now WBZ's AccuWeather forecast.
This is AccuWeather meteorologist Alex Sisowski. Much colder air moving in overnight. A gusty wind at times, low 18. Sunday, blustery and noticeably colder. Despite sunshine, high temperatures only around 23. Sunday night, patchy clouds and very cold. The wind will gradually settle down. Lows will range from 5 in the coldest suburbs to 12 downtown. Monday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, high 26. Temperatures will moderate Tuesday. Clouds and limited sun, high 30 to 35. I'm WBZ AccuWeather meteorologist Alex Sisowski.
Temperature is in Boston right this minute outside our plush but not overly ostentatious WBZ studios. 16 degrees. Everybody dance.
Your Nathan show just makes me glow each weekend night. Compare, and so debonair, he shines so bright.
You're on BZ 103. Oh, please don't turn that dial. He makes me smile.
The time is 8 minutes after 4 o'clock, and we'll be around about another 10 minutes or so. And our phone number is, ah, the heck with it. I'm getting sick of phone numbers. I'm getting sick of the O.J. Simpson trial. I'm getting sick of Newt Gingrich. It's like life is on a rerun or something. We get to see the same thing and hear the same thing all the time. Let's go to Warren. He is young and he's fresh with new ideas, and he's an exciting individual, and he'll add new life to these troubled, dusty old halls. Won't you, Warren?
Certainly will try.
Okay, maybe that's too much of an assignment to just throw at you right at that, but I know you'll come through.
Okay. I'll give you a shot. First, there's a quote from Little Woman, which I sort of identified. I don't know if it's false identification or what, but the mother was saying to Louisa, was Marnie, you have so many extraordinary talents. How can you expect yourself to live an ordinary life? So anyway, I'm just back from Poland, as you know.
Yes, that's right, because we talked from that very place just a week ago.
That's right.
And I'm glad you called back, because you were going to give us kind of an update, or at least an overall view of how you felt there, because you had not been there since when?
I hadn't been there for 30 years.
Okay.
It was quite a revolution. There's Burger King and Pizza Hut and McDonald's and everything there.
Now, you were mentioning all the fast food places that are there now.
It's sort of sad in that way, because when I was there 30 years ago, they had these bar malechnis, these milk bars, where you could get borscht and kasha and all sorts of nice ethnic foods, yogurt and milk, of course.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I remember back... I forget how many years ago, maybe back as far back as the 40s or 50s, right after World War One, World War II, rather, there was a writer, my memory is just, I'm just going to block on this thing. He wrote a book called Beyond the Across the Wide Missouri, Bernard DeVoto. And at that time, and this is, you know, like 40 years ago, he was talking about how America is all getting to look alike.
That's true.
Because of these same restaurants. At one time, you could go to different towns, some remote towns, and they would have a flavor all their own. And now with the chain stores and everything, every town looks like every other town. And now that's the sad thing you point out is that it's stretching across the whole world. There will be no escape.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be pockets of diversity, you know, with local kinds of things, ethnic foods and that kind of stuff. But not as much as you'd like. It won't seem as different anymore as it did before. It'll be like traveling from one American city to another, no matter where you go. But people, you were talking last time about, I was trying to get me the attitude of people there. Was it, did they seem more upbeat than they were back the last time you went, when they were under communist domination, or does that not matter?
They seemed a little more upbeat, but I don't know. It's a very strange thing with the Polacks. We make all the jokes about them, but for all the jokes we make about them, and some are deserved and some are not, they have this tremendous spirit and this tremendous cheerfulness. I mean, under these crazy conditions that I would call crazy and that we're not used to at all. So I come home and I'm extremely grateful to be home and have a shower curtain and
I know it.
And hot water all the time, and no smell of coal in the air. They still heat by coal to a big degree, and you know, you don't stink, but it gets all over your clothes, and your clothes are dirty in a half an hour, and you have to wear them the rest of the day.
Mm. Do you speak Polish?
Prussia, yes, I do.
Oh, you do speak Polish?
Yes, yeah, so I was a little rusty on it, but after two or three days, all the rust comes off. And
okay, so you're able to talk with people there then and really get some information.
Yeah, I did, in all honesty, as they say, I did a little bit of everything. I did sign language, I did Polish, I did English. I didn't do any German or French, but Poland wants to be the 51st state. No. they are going gung-ho computers, and all the movies are American movies. You can hear a lot of American music, whether it's jazz, I heard some jazz, whether it's 60s music, or then they had some experimental music, and I don't know exactly what country that came from, but maybe it was Polish. And so they have about half a dozen different radio stations that I was listening to, but only three TV stations in Kraków. So cable is just starting to come in the country,
yeah.
Both in Warsaw and in Kraków.
What about costs, particularly in these fast food places that are the same as we have here? Are the prices similar? Are they?
Yeah, apparently they're about comparable, I would say. Maybe a little less, but it was sort of like, you know, how can these people afford it? But you do have pockets, quite a huge pockets of rich people, and then the middle class is really starting to come up a bit, and then they do have quite a bit of tourists. So everyone likes to wear blue jeans and have all the sweatshirts from the different American teams, and so it's a little bizarre seeing someone wear Chicago Bears and have to realize he's a Polak. He doesn't know any English. Probably might know some that he learned at school, but he's a Polish person. He's not an American.
Does the country look a little more prosperous than last time, or the pretty
yeah,
much the same?
Does,
you think
it does look more prosperous? You know, which is very interesting because when I was going walking down the streets of Krakow with my friend Andrzej, and he was saying, you see all these stores, they're all privatized now. They're all in private hands. They used to be all state stores. And this extends to the houses. I saw quite a bit of house building by private people, you know, extensions of houses and so forth and so on. So that was good. Especially because I would go to this small little village, Balica, which is a suburb of Krakow and near the airport. And even out there, they'd be rebuilding the houses and stuff.
So the city has a look of I don't know quite how to phrase it, prosperity, or at least things are looking up.
Yeah. And it was very strange when I was in Warsaw, because they have these underground passages. They've now sort of like deemed it unfit and dangerous for people to cross the street. So they have these underground passages that you go under. And they're even repairing and rebuilding those, like I said last week.
Now, how long were you there?
I was there 11 days. I was there from the 29th of January to the 9th of February. So,
were you in Warsaw and mostly, or?
Well, no. I sort of divided my time between Warsaw and Krakow. And which is 3 hours to the south. It used to be 5 hours by train, but now they have this intercity train, and they've shortened the time and speeded up the train. So I would stay in Warsaw 2 days, then I went to Krakow, and I would come back to Warsaw, and I went back to Krakow, and then I went back to Warsaw, and then came back home. That's the long and the short of it.
I would have thought that you would go more toward the summertime. Is it? I think of Poland in the wintertime, in January and February, and I think, boy, there must be other places I'd rather be during the... was it very cold there? Is it as cold?
No, it was warmer there than it was here, ironically, and it was in the 40s most of the time, and there was only one day when I could see my breath, and so I knew it was cold. Of course, all the temperatures they give are Celsius or centigrade, so you have to... do the old mental math, or you just have to breathe and see if the air...
Well, it's tearing your lungs apart.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I was saying to my sister, geez, why aren't I going to Aruba like my coworker Nellie? Why aren't I going there, or Mexico? Or she said, well, because, Warren, Poland is very important to you. You have some healing to do on yourself, and you have some colleagues to look up. And sure enough, I looked up my director... And he was still there.
Yeah.
This is his 32nd year that he's been there. And looked at my old girlfriend, and she's still there, married, and 3 kids.
Yeah. Now, how long were you in Poland the first time, 30 years ago?
I was there for 10 months.
Uh-huh. What was that? Now, what was that like, seeing your old girlfriend?
Oh, that was like a... that was like a total shock for both of us, I guess.
Yeah.
It was very fun. She's... getting a little fat, I guess I was too.
Okay.
And but she still has the same smile and the same laugh, and she's still fun. Everyone loves her. So it was fun. She wanted me to come and visit her husband and meet her 3 kids, but I don't know. I was just suffering from jet lag, and I just couldn't fit into my schedule. The day that I saw her, I couldn't fit it in. The next day, I went to Auschwitz, and that took the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, very emotional. And that's like the fourth and final time. Now, even Auschwitz has changed. I went there 3 years ago, three times 30 years ago. And it was really stark and simple and scary. Because you thought the Nazis would come back any minute.
Mm.
And now it's all pretty... And it's like Dachau, it's all beautified, and there are tour buses, and there's a cinema, and there's a restaurant, and the post office, and, so they're taken away.
Are your folks from there?
No, I'm what they call a Yankee mongrel, but here in Gloucester, everyone has to be ethnic, so I'm the Polak.
Oh, I see, okay. I've got to sign off in about a half a minute, Warren.
Okay, now.
You're a pleasure to talk with. I hope I'll talk
to you
again soon. Thanks a million.
Dovitanya, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, thanks, same to you. Anyway, it is time to say goodbye, and we'll be back again tonight at 11 o'clock and be with you all through the night. I hope you get a chance to call, and we'll visit some more, okay? I think that would be just so darn nice. On behalf of our entire crew, I hope today is a lovely day. On behalf of the lovely Marilyn Gorelick and myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan Person, it's 4:20. Bye-bye, old sport.
Oh, how I wish I had copies of those jingles. If you have them or know someone who does, even just a few, please email me at normnathanvos@gmail.com. I have searched the interwebs, and there's a few things out there, but the vastness of a 52-year radio career eludes me. Unfortunately, his personal collection of records, tapes, and memorabilia was lost due to a burst pipe. I guess it makes what we have here very special. Before we sign off, I have a question for you. Are you an inventor?
Are you an inventor?
I've already asked that.
Or do you know an inventor who would like to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone 1-800-933-IDEA. Invention Submission Corporation, one of America's largest invention service organizations, has an inventor's kit you can have free. It contains a form for recording your invention's date of origination, plus an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get your free kit by dialing 1-800-933-IDEA, I-D-E-A. That's 1-800-933-IDEA, I-D-E-A. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's kit. It shows how your invention may be patented and submitted to industry by Invention Submission Corporation. It's a free call, so dial 1-800-933-IDEA, I-D-E-A. That's 1-800-933-IDEA.
Hey, Frankie, man, what you doing this summer, huh?
Ah, flipping burgers, maybe. I don't know. How about you?
Hanging out, you know, chasing a woman.
Can't find a job, huh?
Hey, we're not all lucky like Dougie here.
Man, cool it, Jace.
Come on, dude. I wish my old man got me a job at his office.
You're going to be an insurance executive?
Dougie's going to be a suit.
Kiss off, dirtbag. Can I hold your briefcase, sir?
Just drop the guys, all right? Hey, what's bucking you, big shot?
I failed a drug test. You use, you lose. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. Bummer.
I think that kid got a hold of some of Fred's dried citrus leaves. The vault is stuffed with a fat stack of thank yous, so let's close it and ride those chocolate-covered radio waves home. For some of the most handsome and beautiful people anywhere, Massachusetts men and women. Tchaikovsky's Andante Cantabile. Ellen Kimball, Frank Evroosh, Michael Coleman, Gary LaPierre, Michelle Pfeiffer, Miss Texas, Miss USA, Chelsea Smith, Casey, Vanna, Ja, Daisy, Julie, Dr. Joyce, Dr. Ruth, and all the other people you don't understand how they got where they are. Dunkin' Donuts, Powder Mills Sports Center in Maynard, Jane and Goodman Ace, Feline Ear Mites, Tearstained Scrapbooks of Memories, the Coolidge Corner Theater, Ryopan, and George and her itchy baby. Fire Safety Voiceovers, Norma Nathan, WHAM, WHDH, The Cloud Club, Errol Garner, Count Basie, Sounds in the Night, Alex Znowski, Poland, Robert Ames, Jack Hart, Ken Newman, and the man who's just a follower with no creative ability or initiative, Norm Nathan. I'm the follower of the follower, Tony Nesbitt.